Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Danny Lipford here, along with my co-host, Joe Truini, and you're at the right place for the most practical, realistic, most current home improvement information you'll find anywhere. And yes, we're going to have a little fun along the way. How can you not have fun when you hang out with my buddy, Joe Truini? Joe, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing well. I was just going to say the same thing. How much fun can we possibly have when Danny and I get together? I love hanging out with Danny. Was it a week ago? 2 weeks ago, I guess, I was in the studio in Mobile. So
yeah.
That was fun.
Sure was.
And then I did a show with Chelsea. So now Danny's in Mobile, Alabama. I'm in Connecticut, and we're ready to roll here to answer your home improvement questions.
Absolutely. We do want to hear from you. We make it so easy. You can pick up the phone and call us anytime. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner Hotline, 24 hours a day. Anytime you want to pick up the phone and give us a call. A lot of people will have questions, of course. And certainly invite you to, you know, call in with your question. Some people have just comments on things they would like for us to talk about a little bit here on Today's Homeowner Radio, and others have little cool tips that they share with us from time to time. We always appreciate those. You can also send us an email. We're going to tackle as many of those as we can this week. You can send us one right now at todayshomeowner.com/ask. During this first hour of Today's Homeowner Radio, we're going to talk about what do you do once you remove wallpaper. Sometimes there's a little residue left over. What can you do so that you can proceed with your paint job? Also, we're going to be trying to save a well-used kitchen table. They don't want to throw it away yet. We're going to give them some suggestions on what they can do. And also, our first installment of Know Your Mow. Yes, it's springtime. Time to get ready to know how to mow and Know Your Mow, brought to you by our friends at Exmark. Also, if you're thinking of adding a bathroom, a lot of people out there have, you know, a one-bathroom house and would really love another one, or they have a two-bath house and want another one. Either way, we'll give you some things you have to consider along the way. Joe, what about that simple solution you're going to share with us in a little bit? Just give us just a little tease.
Okay. Everybody that's growing gardens knows the importance of composting, using compost. So I have a quick tip on how to make a DIY composting bin.
Well, that goes right into one of the things I was going to bring up.
What's that?
Is this time of the year. I'll tell you, my wife has been crazy with her raised beds over the last, we've been in our house now 3 years, and it's just unbelievable how many crops and how many vegetables have come out of this modest little four-bed planting bed area. I mean, like, she went out, and I think she planted 30 plants day before yesterday. And, of course, we can do that in the southeast.
Yeah.
In the north, maybe it's a little too early for that. But it's not too early to get that raised bed ready. And, Joe, we have talked about raised beds quite a bit over the years, and it spawned a lot of questions. Thought that we could maybe bring up a few tips on
sure.
how to have a successful bed. First of all, when you build it really strong, because I've seen a lot of people just use some flimsy boards and it seems
right.
sufficient. You get the soil in there, you get water it, and after a while that settling, things start bulging a little bit. So you really have to just about build a fortress when you're building these things. And of course, you got to use weather resistant wood. Pressure treated wood is okay to use. It's good to let it kind of season a little bit and age a little bit out in the weather to get a lot of that pressure treatment out. But also what I did with mine, Joe, after I built it, of course, I put 4x4 posts in the ground.
Right.
And then I put treated plywood around. And then I did some decorative woodwork on the outside of it, since it was very visible in my yard. But then I came back and put the landscape fabric on the inside, which provides
okay,
a little bit
yeah.
of protection
yeah.
from the moisture on the wood, but also prevents that silting out. You know, the soil will just kind of sneak out
right.
of there after a while if you're not careful. But you've seen the beds. Boy, they're holding
yeah,
up
I have.
Great.
And they are bountiful. I was there in late summer. And it was amazing. I guess it was midsummer. Amazing how much produce your wife is producing there. Now, When you did you finish the wood at all? Did you stain it or?
Yeah, I stained like it. After it etched a while out in the weather, I stained it to match my fence that's nearby there with a semi-transparent exterior stain, just so that it kind of blends in and looks like it was intentional. You know, that it was planned out, which it was. So that worked out good. But I think the most important thing is making sure that you get the right soil mixture in there. You're going to want to.
Yeah.
Most people. I mean, there's a lot of different. Opinions on this, but for the most part, you hear people talking about the triple mixture, which basically is a high quality topsoil, compost, and peat moss. Some areas of the country recommend introducing a little sand in there because the drainage on any garden is important, but particularly with the raised bed. So you want to make sure that it will drain out. And another thing, Joe, I always caution people is don't build it too high. The higher you build it, the more soil you've got to put in that.
And soil is expensive.
Let me tell you, you run by Home Depot and pick up 10 or 15 bags of soil, put it in raised bed, and you'll go, I think I'm going back to the store because it takes a lot. So doing some going online and at todayshomeowner.com, we have calculators all over the site there about really figuring how much you need. Do a little math there, figure out the size of it, and then you can determine whether or not it's worth going the bag route or whether you may need to look at someone that will deliver you small, because there's a lot of people in a lot of nurseries that offer small deliveries, and that may be something that you want to look at because it will take more soil than you think it needs.
Yeah, and plus it settles, of course, once you water it and put the plants in. Now, I've seen yours, but I don't recall how deep are they. What did you decide?
It's about 16 inches, which I would think would
that's a deep issue.
Yeah, which would be the max. But I'll tell you, and I know this will just sound like a lazy gardening thing, but we put a 1x6 all the way around the outside of it to cap it off, which is perfect for positioning, your plants before you plant them, or to tell you the truth, sitting down while you're enjoying, weeding and doing all of these kind of things, spreading mulch and such. So that's not a bad idea either, but mine's probably the max that you would want to go. Most of them are only 8 inches, which is plenty to get to take advantage of raised bed gardening. And of course, you want to make sure that after you get everything nice and planted, follow the directions, and you'll be tempted to put them a lot closer than they say. Some will say 3 foot spacing on it. Well, with a raised bed, that's not going to allow you to put many plants in.
Yeah, you run out of space pretty quickly. Yeah,
you can kind of alternate the planting a little bit, but also stick to the rules or close to them, because when they get crowded like that, you're not going to get any more vegetables out of it. It's just going to kind of, work against each other. So that's one of the things that you need to think about there. And also, speaking of moisture and water, you want to make sure you have a water supply close by, because you're going to want a automatic. What we did is put in a little drip system, just the hoses all around, hooked it to a water hose with a little battery-operated timer, and it's perfect. You can flip the timer off at any time, but at least the most important things, water the roots. You don't want to water all of the leaves and so forth. Right. That can accelerate, fungus and other problems that you have on it. But, it's just basic good common sense, but what you'll get out of it is amazing.
Yeah, and that's why you don't usually use a sprinkler. Some people just use like an oscillating sprinkler to water the garden, but you're wetting all the leaves. And in a really hot day, that water sitting on the leaves can burn the leaves. One other question that I was always curious about, I never asked you. So you come to a new season, planting season, and you rake out all the dead debris that's in there. Do you supplement, add amendments to the soil to replace the soil? What do you do from season to season?
Probably about once a year when planting, adding just a little bit more manure and compost. If you see that it's packing out a little bit too much, maybe a little more peat. So just a little bit of all of that, because the settling is a real thing. It will settle down a good bit. So you're constantly adding for that as well. And mine's actually to where I can, really getting lazy here, throw the little small rototiller up in there, and I can till that thing
up. That's a good idea. Yeah, absolutely.
Time and tie it all together. But anyway, more information on raised beds and a few tips for you waiting on you at todayshomeowner.com. Homeowner.com. We're just getting started here on today's Homeowner Radio. Sit back, relax, get another cup of coffee. Whatever you're doing, I hope your weekend is going well. You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
When you download the Home Depot app, taking on big or small projects starts with a tap. It's your pocket-sized toolbox for getting more done. Image search helps you find what you need with a snap. Store mode pinpoints exactly where to go to get what you want while you're at our store. Or just tap to arrange for easy curbside pickup, all from the palm of your hand. It's the app that's made for doing. The Home Depot app. How doers get more done.
When your house needs a new roof, it's important to make a good investment. The roof is literally your home's first line of defense against the elements, so you want something that's durable, low maintenance, long-lasting, and protects your home from strong winds, hail, and even wildfire. You want a quality metal roof because it performs as beautifully as it looks. The Metal Roofing Alliance can help you find the metal roof that's right for you. Check out their free Metal Roofing Buyer's Guide at metalroofing.com.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. That's a nationally syndicated show all over this great country, including this wonderful station in Knoxville, Tennessee, WETR 92.3 FM and 760 AM. Hello to everybody in that part of Tennessee. And we want to hear from you and help you out with any challenge that you might be having in and around your home. You can pick up the phone and call the Today's Homeowner hotline right now at 800-946-4420, or you can go to todayshomeowner.com/ask and send us an email. That's exactly what Barbara did from New York. She says, my husband and I are updating our kitchen. We took down the wallpaper that the previous owners had put up with sizing. Now, I'd like to paint the walls and have been told that I cannot paint over the sizing because the paint can bubble up. I have not found any answers on how to remove the sizing, only how to remove glue. What do you suggest I use to remove the sizing? It is impossible to scrape and nothing will soften it up so that it can be scraped. Help me out. What can I do? Joe, I remember us talking a while back that you actually did a little investigation on this and did an article of the thousands of articles that you write all the time. Yeah. What did you find out about this? Because, I've removed a lot of wallpaper, and yes, there's usually maybe a little tackiness or something, and of course, there's always just a slight bit of damage at least, and so you're doing a little drywall compound. Right, yeah. After you do the drywall compound on there, of course, you're doing some sanding. Usually, that's all I've ever had to do, you know, while you're sanding the drywall patches that you've done, the repairing the damage, you go ahead and sand the whole wall. Generally, that takes care of it, but I understand every now and then there will be a kind of a tacky situation.
Yeah, there are basically three types of sizing. And by the way, for people who aren't aware, wallpaper sizing is a coating that they put on the wall first, and what it does is it prevents the wallpaper adhesive from drying too quickly, so it allows you to sort of slide the paper into place so it doesn't just stick immediately. So that's the reason there is sizing. So for Barbara's problem, there are three types of wallpaper sizing commonly used. Two of them you can paint over, no problem. The third one can be problematic. And it's an acrylic emulsion is what it's made out of. And the problem is it never really cures hard. It stays soft and tacky. So if Barbara feels it and it feels a little sticky, then you can't simply paint over it. And so you have to clean it off. And the way I would recommend is just get some pretty warm water, not hot water, but warm water, tap warm, and a scouring sponge, maybe some liquid dish soap, and just try scrubbing it off. I'd try one small spot, scrub it off, then apply a primer. You can use Zinsser 123 or Kilds, makes a really good primer, either one. Put on some primer, let it dry really well, paint it. And again, we're talking about a small section, maybe a couple of square feet, and then wait till the next day, Danny, and see what happens. If the paint seems to be adhered well and not blistered off, then you can continue. I'd hate to do the whole room and then find out.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's always good to test a small spot like that. It's kind of like people asking about, can I leave wallpaper up? It's nice and smooth and seems to be adhered well. A lot of times we'll say the same thing. Just take some latex paint and paint just a 2 foot by 2 foot area over to the side and see what it does overnight. If it's nice and smooth the next day, yeah, you can paint over it. But the sizing in handling it this way, again, will show you whether or not it'll be a problem.
Right. And the reason we don't always recommend just painting the whole wall of wallpaper is if it's a older paper and it's pretty porous, or it's a paper, a latex paint might seep through that, deactivate the adhesive behind it, and now you've got painted wallpaper peeling off your wall. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're not trying to create more work for ourselves. So, Barbara's just going to have to test it out and make sure that it's not the acrylic emulsion type of sizing that, cannot simply paint right over.
All right. There you go, Barbara. Good luck for you and your husband completing that bathroom renovation. I'm sure it's going to look awesome. Glad we could help you on that. Hey, if you want to send us an email, do so right now. todayshomeowner.com/ask. That's what Lucille in Pennsylvania did. Said, hi, Danny and Joe. Thanks for all the great remodeling ideas over the years. You've encouraged my husband and I to try many DIY projects, both inside and out. Currently, we're updating our bedroom with all new carpet, light fixtures, window treatments, and paint. I love the idea of creating an accent wall behind the bed's headboard. Should the accent wall be painted lighter or darker than the other three walls? Can you share any other ways to make the accent wall stand out?
Well, you guys have done that two or three times on the TV show,
right? Yes, and I think she's referring to a project that we did just a few shows ago where we worked with a great couple in taking care of a guest bedroom that they had kind of used as a dumping zone. That's what that second or third bedroom ends up being a little bit. If it doesn't belong anywhere else, just put it in there and close the door.
Honey, here's the bathroom. Here's the master bedroom. Here's our dumping zone.
Yeah, but that's not very welcoming for any guests. So what we did on that particular show, which I think turned out really well, is we made sure that the wall was in good shape. The drywall was, didn't have any holes in it. So we patched a little bit here and there. Then we used a type of material that's only a half inch thick, and it's actually used for pine siding on older houses, but I found a lot of uses for it inside, and we took the half inch by six material and cut it right in half to create two and three quarter inch batten strips.
And this is wood. This is solid wood.
This was wood. Just wood. Yeah. Put it right on the wall, right on the drywall, a little bit of caulking and painting. Man, it just warmed that place up. Now, as far as whether to paint it lighter or darker, it's really a personal preference. Generally, these days, you tend to go lighter or a variation of the color that you already have on the wall. Or it's an accent wall. Get as bold as you want on that.
Yeah.
I've many, many times, I've also done things where we've actually put a good grade of plywood, thin plywood on the wall with the battens, and then stained it. So, you walk in, you got painted walls and one stained wall where the headboard of the bed is. That looks pretty good. Now, Joe, I'll tell you something else that's very, very easy in a lot of these situations is to these wall sconces that are battery-operated LEDs.
Really?
These lithium batteries are unbelievable in how long they can possibly last. So you're able to use the batteries, put them up, and then you have no wiring. You're basically putting two screws, put the wall sconces up, and these wall sconces can point down, up, sideways, anywhere that you want. And that really is a cool custom accent when you're talking about a bedroom.
Yeah, the other thing I was thinking for Lucille, I was talking to Chelsea, and we had a question about, those stencils you guys used on a patio, amazing. If you're not seeing this, go to todayshomeowner.com, and you'll see stenciling a patio. It really just came out great. But anyway, the question was, can I use those stencils on a vertical surface? A woman wanted to put it on a wall. Mm-hmm. And Chelsea said, yeah, that company makes stencils for walls. And I guess you just stick them up, paint them, move them, and keep painting. But anyway, so that might be an interesting way to make a bold statement on an accent wall, especially since she said it's going to be behind the headboard. So the bed and the headboard's going to, block some of it. So if it seems really bold at first, you're going to lose some of that boldness, which might tone it down a bit when you slide the bed into place. But try those stencils. Again, I'll have to see if I can find the name of that company. I'll share it with you later. Do you know the name of that?
No, I don't. You know how those names, how people make up names for those different things, and I can't remember, but you can certainly find it at todayshomeowner.com. And, you know, a lot of the original accent walls, people using tape and doing,
right,
you know,
yeah,
bold vertical stripes or horizontal stripes or dividing the wall from top to bottom and so forth. I'm not a big fan of that. I like to make a room feel larger, and vertical stripes will do that. And Sure Tape has not only just your traditional type of tape, but they introduced one a few years ago that actually has curves in it.
Huh.
So you talked about very interesting, just slight curves. You put the tape on, you paint, you pull that off, and you have just a real interesting pattern.
So the tape itself comes off the roll kind of curved?
Yes, uh-huh. You know, it has little dips and dings in it. So it's kind
that's
of a neat
cool
way to add a little different look to it, and also will amaze your friends on, how did you do that? Because you don't, you know, it's how
I was drinking and I was trying to make a straight line with my tape. That's what happened.
Hey, a lot of information coming at you here on Today's Homeowner. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'll tell you about a way that you can change that closet in one day to make it a nice custom closet and get a lot more use out of the space, that and a whole lot more. Coming up right here on Today's Homeowner Radio.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by the Home Depot, how doers get more done. Closet organization projects are extremely popular with homeowners because most homes are built with the absolute minimum of planning and materials in these spaces. You know, they hang a wire shelf and they call it done. So the Closet Evolution Ultimate Closet Kit is a great solution for people who want to upgrade but might not have the skill or time to create a custom space for themselves. The kit fits closets from 4 to 8 feet wide, and all of the components hang on the wall so you don't have to remove any baseboards. Installation is real easy with rods and shelves that you simply cut to fit your existing space. Now, once the installation is complete, you have a full width shelf, 4 hanging rods, 3 2-foot shelves, and 4 2-foot drawers. Think about that in your closet and what a difference that will make in the space you have available. Plus, all the shelves and panels have a durable, scratch-resistant laminate surface. So it's called the Closet Evolution Ultimate Closet Kit, and you can find out more about it right now by logging on to HomeDepot.com. Closet renovation is so gratifying, and you have that just that simple rod hanging 5 foot off the floor, and you change things up, and you go, huh, why didn't I do that years ago? It always seems to happen on those kind of projects.
And that's a one-day project. You don't even have to devote a whole weekend to it. You can go and get the stuff, and this is really great that you can just cut it, custom cut it to fit anywhere between 4 and 8 feet. So,
I know it.
You know, as long as you are really careful in your measurements and cutting, really one day and it would be done.
Exactly. Let's head back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. We're going to Pennsylvania. Connie is on the line. Connie, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on around your house.
As I stated in my letter, I am having trouble with my table, and it's apparently veneered, and it's all raised, and apparently there's been a lot of moisture on it, and it's a pull-out table on either end, so it extends to something like 110 inches or 108 inches. So the ends that are underneath the table, stored underneath the table, are fine, but the center part, which is used and is raised and sort of not looking very nice. And I just wondered if anything could be done with that, since it's obviously, I don't know if you call it veneered or what.
Yeah, it could be kind of a veneered or something that's kind of laminated over that. So it's pretty sure that it is not a real solid wood, of course. So to get that to stick back down, I have never been successful. I think one time I remember having a situation there that just seemed like an original flaw in the table, or I think this was a countertop. And you know what we did was actually drilled a tiny, tiny hole and injected glue through that hole underneath it. And then I weighted it down for a couple days with a piece of wood and several concrete blocks. And afterwards, yes, I had a tiny hole in that was easy to camouflage with a little putty. It did, I would say, improve it by 75%, but you could still see that it was contorted a little bit because that it when it raises up, it almost expands. So when you try to push it back down, it just doesn't go back to exactly where. Joe, do you have any other ways that Connie can make this table look a little better?
Yeah, Connie, I'm looking at the photograph you sent, and thank you for that. And when the question is now, this is the center of the table, but the
correct
center of the table doesn't separate, right? Okay, so that'll make it a little more difficult to fix this, but it still is doable. But yeah, Danny is right. The only way that I know to repair raised veneer, assuming this is indeed veneer, and you can tell if you push it, it should go down a little bit. But in any case, the only way to fix it is really to inject glue underneath the veneer. In fact, they actually make glue injection needles, almost look like a hypodermic, but it's meant for shooting glue into underneath veneer. And then you have to clamp it down. I mean, that'd be the only way to fix this. You don't want to just sand it, because what would happen is you'd sand off the veneer and then you'd expose the substrate underneath.
That's what I wondered. I mean, there's so many areas that would have to be injected. You know, you can see there's a huge surface. So I don't know if the glue is a possibility with my problem.
Yeah, unfortunately, and this table looks like it needs to be refinished anyway, which would be, you know, if you glued it down and then, you know, got it as flat, those blisters as flat as you could, that delamination, glue it down. And if anyone's going to do that, what you do is you put down some wax paper first after you inject the glue, put a board across the table, like a 2x4 on edge, then you clamp it to the edge of the table, each edge of the table.
Yeah.
And that 2x4 holding, obviously the reason you put the glue there is otherwise you'll have a 2x4 glued to your table. So that's the reason for the wax paper. So unfortunately,
well, there's so many ridges, across the thing. I don't know if the glue would be practical for that. Or
are you sure it's veneer? If you press on these, does it go down? Does it feel like there's air underneath it?
No, not necessarily.
Yeah. I wonder if it just raised. Well, I don't know. It's hard for me to tell from the photograph whether this is solid wood. It looks like solid wood, but a lot of veneered tables do look solid. If it is indeed veneer, unfortunately, kind of that's the only option.
I see. Okay. Well, and sanding it is not an option.
No. If it's blistered enough, you'll sand through the veneer. The veneer is very thin. It's probably barely a 1/16 of an inch, and you don't want to do that. I mean, you could get this whole table refinished. They could re-veneer the whole table and look like a brand new table. You have to send it out to have that done.
Yeah. Yes, I understand.
If you really want to save it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's such a practical table for our family. With the ends pulling out, it seats, 10 or 12 people.
Great.
So it's been, a very useful table for us. But
sure.
I don't know. It just doesn't look very nice, the centers. Well, okay. Well, I appreciate your advice.
Sorry, there's not a quick fix for that.
Yeah, I know. I sort of suspected as much, but I appreciate your call.
Hey, our pleasure, Connie, and thanks so much for being a part of the show today, and hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you very much.
Joe, tablecloths, you know how we talk about some of the hardwood floors, and you have the little rug and everything that camouflages it. So a nice little tablecloth here, even though they can be high maintenance, that's one way to do it.
Yeah, well, that brings up actually a really good point, Danny, because some of these tables are veneer, and I'm sure this is affected by moisture. And maybe she wasn't using a tablecloth, or she's using just a tablecloth. And what you have to use is you have to use a dining room table pad. They actually make pads, thin pads, that they're like made out of hardboard, like Masonite or something. You put those down first, not only to protect the surface, and then you cover it with a tablecloth, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But, because even a tablecloth, water from a glass or wine, mm-hmm. going to soak through there and ruin the tabletop. So that's probably what happened with this. So before this happens at your table, be sure to get one of those pads to protect it under the tablecloth.
Well, we're rolling along here on today's Homeowner Radio this week. When we come back, we're going to talk about Know Your Mow, a special radio segment from our friends at Exmark to get you ready for springtime and summertime and the inevitable mowing grass. Also, we're going to talk about some of the things you need to think about if you're thinking about adding a bathroom to your house, all that and a whole lot more right here on today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back. If you're looking for an extra measure of comfort, convenience, and cleanliness in your bathroom, nothing delivers it all like the SoftSpa Electronic Bidet Toilet Seat by FluidMaster. The SoftSpa is a full bidet offering a luxury experience without the expense of replacing your toilet. The SoftSpa features fully adjustable water pressure, temperature, and positioning, as well as a heated seat and warm air dryer. Don't settle for less than luxury in your bathroom. Trust FluidMaster. If you're looking for a simple, inexpensive way to upgrade your kitchen, try the new LuxRock Solid Surface Granite Countertop Kit from Deitch Coatings. It's an easy four-step process that you can do yourself to give your counters authentic granite elegance in just a weekend. And because it's formulated with real stone, this revolutionary product resists stains, heat, and impact to deliver a high-end appearance with smooth richness that rivals a professional granite installation at a fraction of the cost. Find LuxRock online at the Home Depot or at DeitchCoatings.com. Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with QuickCrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. QuickCrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit QuickCrete.com. QuickCrete, what America's made of.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautifully tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes or countertops. There's no mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot. Take today's homeowner with you wherever you go with our popular podcast channel. Listen to our daily tips for today's homeowner. Get answers to your most common questions with our Ask Danny podcast. Or catch up on past episodes of the Today's Homeowner radio show. They're all designed to help you find solutions that work for your home. And they're available on demand on our Today's Homeowner podcast channel. Just search Today's Homeowner podcast on your favorite app and listen today.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Today's homeowner is brought to you by Tight Bond, the pro's advantage.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner radio show, where we're going to feature a special segment every week for a little while to get you ready for spring. It's called Know Your Mow, brought to you by our friends at Exmark Mowers. You know, this time of the year, many of us spend a lot of time taking care of our yards. Well, if it's worth spending a lot of time on it, it's worth doing it right. So we're adding a new feature here, as I mentioned, Know Your Mow, where we can share some ideas and tips to help you make the most of your lawn. One of the first lawn care questions people often ask is, what height should I set the mower deck? The answer to that question really shouldn't be based on personal preference, but instead on what is the healthiest height for the type of grass that you're mowing. For example, some warm season grasses like Bermuda or Zoysia thrive best when mowed around 1.5 inches. Now, some tall, cool season varieties like fescue and Kentucky bluegrass work better around 3 inches high. The point is that you should ask your local nurseryman who's really familiar with your type of grass and climate and ask them what's ideal. If you don't know what type you have, dig up just a little clump and take it with you. They can identify it right away. Mowing your lawn in the correct height will allow it to capture the sunlight and rain that the root system really needs to fight off diseases and deal with any kind of drought conditions. While the height at which you cut it is important, it's also important how much you remove in each mowing. For any grass, it's important to never cut more than a third of the blade off at one time. Anyone can, any more than that can really be a shock to the lawn, which will hamper its growth and the overall health. So mow frequently and mow at the right height. This Know Your Mow segment brought to you by X-Mart. Always that time of the year, and it won't be long that those mowers will be zooming around all over the neighborhood. Right now, we want to go to today's homeowner hotline. We would encourage you to reach out to us as well, 800-946-4420. We have Sandra on the line. Sandra, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on at your house.
I've got a home that was built back in 1945. I renovated most of it back in 1986. But on the back of the house, I have a weird situation that I'm wanting to add a bathroom on. The area that I'm wanting to do the bathroom size is a 16-foot, 9.5 inches by 10-foot, 3 inches. But my problem is my roof line on the back of the house in that corner. There's a pitch that's 5-on-12 and another pitch that's probably a 4-on-12. And I'm wondering how am I going to build that roof line to make all that kind of go in together? I don't understand how I'm going to get that roof where it's, you know, going to match the rest of the house. And I have a metal roof on the house. It was installed back in 07. And I know they're probably going to have to tear that roof off to build maybe the new pitch, I guess. But I just don't understand how they're going to do it.
Yeah, that's always tough to visualize. That's the hardest part to visualize, right?
Well, I tell you what, this is something I've done hundreds and hundreds of times with built so many additions over the years, and I've also seen a lot of big mistakes made when building onto an existing house because people trying to take the easy route and to put a flat roof or a slightly sloping roof, something that just stands out and it doesn't match up with the original lines of the house. And I would encourage you not to go that route and to make sure that you remove whatever or to have someone remove whatever sections of roof necessary to really make it look like it was part of the original construction. And a remodeling contractor that's built a lot of additions like I have, they've been through this many, many times. They can look at that and give you a couple different options, but you really want to know what it's going to look like. So first thing I would do is I would call your local home builders association. You'll find one in and around Ozark or in adjacent towns and find a remodeling contractor. They'll give you a list of remodelers there and have a couple of guys out and ask their opinion. Also, while you're talking to them about their suggestions, ask if they have any draftsmen that can create a drawing, an elevation drawing, to show you what it would look like. It's well worth the money so that everybody's on the same page of which way you're going with this. And you want to, because there's a number of important things. Your eave areas need to match. You need to make sure that they remove part of the existing roof so that the attic spaces all are combined. These are some very common things, and I've never encountered a house that we couldn't come up with a good, suitable, nice-looking roof plan. So I think that would be the start, is to get someone out that's done it before and try to get that draftsman that can show you what it'll look like, and that way you're starting off in the right direction with it.
Okay. All right. Sounds great. Well, I thoroughly enjoy watching your show. And
I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. I just wish you lived closer to Ozark because you could help me out.
Well, glad we could point you in the right direction, and I'm sure it's going to turn out great. If we can help you any other way, let us know.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much, and have a great weekend. We're going to take a short break right now here on today's Homeowner Radio, and when we come back, a lot more information we want to share with you, including a number of emails that we received this week. You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Keep the bugs out and let the fresh air in with Duck Brand's hands-free magnetic screen door. It's a quick, affordable solution for outdoor living spaces. The durable mesh is easily installed and can be attached to the inside or the outside of your existing door frame with no tools needed. It works on single or sliding doors, and the magnetic closures make it easy to walk through when your hands are full. Learn more about Duck Brand's hands-free magnetic screen door at duckbrand.com.
Hi, Danny and Chelsea here.
If you're an explorer, we want to invite you to make our home, Mobile, Alabama, your next adventure.
Explore the great outdoors on America's Amazon, the Mobile Tensaw River Delta.
Explore science and technology with the whole family at the Explorium Science Center.
Explore fantastic cuisine at unique restaurants throughout the city.
Explore our history in museums, forts, and sites like Battleship Memorial Park.
Plan your next adventure on the Gulf Coast at mobile.org.
Got a project? Tight bond sealants are the toughest in the industry, trusted by builders and contractors for reliability and durability. Our weather-resistant formulas stand up to extreme conditions. With extensive color matching availability and exceptional adhesion, they're versatile for any exterior use. No matter the job, count on high performance for best-in-class results. Tight bond sealants, the trusted choice for the pro in you.
When you download the Home Depot app, taking on big or small projects starts with a tap. It's your pocket-sized toolbox for getting more done. Image search helps you find what you need with a snap. Store mode pinpoints exactly where to go to get what you want while you're at our store. Or just tap to arrange for easy curbside pickup, all from the palm of your hand. It's the app that's made for doing. The Home Depot app. How doers get more done.
Welcome back to today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
Okay, I know you've been waiting for this. You don't have to wait anymore. Here's Joe with our simple solution of the week. What do you have, Joe?
All right, Danny, we're going to talk about making compost. It's a great time of year to get the compost ready for your gardens and your planting beds. And composting bins, you can buy them, but they can be pretty expensive. So here's how to make one from an plastic trash cans. Go out and buy. If you have an old one, you need an old one, or you can buy a new one. They're pretty affordable. Buy a plastic trash can. What you want to do is get a drill with a 5/8 inch diameter spade bit and drill holes along the bottom, into the very bottom of the can, and around the outside of the can. And that's for drainage and ventilation. Then set the bin up on like some blocks, concrete blocks or bricks or something like that. You want it up at least 2 or 3 or 4 inches. The idea is so air can circulate under those holes you drilled in the bottom, because it's just sitting on the ground. Those holes won't help you any. And then you just throw in whatever you're composting. And you can compost, you know, any matter from the kitchen other than meat. You don't want to put grease. You don't want to put any kind of meat, but, you know, all your veggie scraps, all that kind of stuff. And the idea is you with these holes, the air can get in. You can put water in there, and water can eventually drain out. Keep the lid on it, of course, and you might have to strap it down if you have critters in the area. But that's a really affordable way to make a really efficient composting bin.
And, you know, one thing about that is, you know, much like we've gotten so used to recycling and separating the things that can be recycled and the things, you know, it's not that hard to create one more area that you're throwing all of those things that can be composted in, say, a third container. And that's something that you're going to take out on a regular basis. But it also keeps, you know, since it's something that will deteriorate and will have an odor, you're getting it out of the house quicker so that it's not in the garbage can a long time. So composting once, and you know, people think about, I don't have that kind of space. Well, with what Joe's talking about here, you're just talking about a garbage can. Pretty manageable, and you'll be surprised how you can convert something that you're going to completely throw away to something that can make the garden grow a whole lot better. Another great simple solution you can read and look at and view over 550 of the simple solutions from Joe on todayshomeowner.com/simple solution. Hey, while you're there at Today's Homeowner, check out where you can see the Today's Homeowner television show in your area, because this week we're talking about a concrete improvement. This is a really cool project we did a while back where we poured a new concrete patio, so you'll see exactly what's involved in pouring a concrete slab from start to finish. We also changed some things with a very simple picket fence. Who doesn't like a picket fence? You know, it certainly can make an area look good, but in this case, it kept the dogs where they needed to be to keep them from getting out and roaming the neighborhoods. Also, television. You know, we have televisions everywhere. You can have one outside if you do it the right way and putting the right type of mount on it so that you can instantly turn on the television, the grill going, and instantly have a nice spring party. So we'd love for you to take a look at it. And again, go to todayshomeowner.com to find out where you can see the TV show in your area. Joe, we've used, you know, I have actually some drop cloths, you know, brand new ones that we put the little clips on and used it for curtains out in my shop, which seemed so appropriate. And we've used them in like garages where, you know, you want to kind of make things look a little better, but you got to have that storage. Well, you can put curtains right in front of it. We did a show last year where we had this little area. It was about 4 feet wide, and that's where everything in the garage was. And then we put the curtains in front of it, and they had a little, a teenage hangout game room there, put the pool table in. So it worked good. It worked good for Dad and everything he had to have over there, and worked good for everybody else. And also, it got the kids out of the living room and into their own space. That's not a bad idea either.
That's always a good idea. Yeah, they do make, I don't know if people are aware, they do make the, I think they're called tarp clips, and they basically look like a binder clip, but they're typically made out of plastic, but they're a binder clip and they have a hole on the end. So the idea is you can clip it on the end of a tarp, and then on that hole you can hook a bungee cord or a rope or tie it off to hang it or pull it tight.
Hey, that pretty much wraps up the first hour of today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my co-host Joe Truini. Thanks so much for spending some time with us here on today's Homeowner Radio.